Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today's the day, the official launch of the co-branded Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Paul Farrington Show, the very first episode. We've done collaborations a little bit before. They've been on my show, I've been on theirs, but this is the first one of us collaborating together. They're going to be here weekly. We're going to do a co-branded episode, so it'll be here on the Pack-A-Day channel as well as their channel over on the Paul Farrington Show. If you haven't checked them out yet, make sure to do so and follow their channel as well. I think you're going to really enjoy the back and forth, and it's just kind of a house divided, right? Behind enemy lines is kind of what we're calling it. They're Vikings fans. They're kind of Packers fans too. I'm a Packers fan, obviously, and it just makes for a very fun and interesting conversation and some really fun topics this week. Obviously, Micah Parsons, Packers Lions, and then a really intriguing Bears Vikings game as well. We break it all down for you. Now, without further ado, the co-branded Paul Farrington Show and the Pack-A-Day Podcast coming up right now.
Welcome in to the first episode of Behind Enemy Lines, a collaboration between Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Paul Farrington Show. Paul, joined by Robert Ziggy Ziegler and Andy Herman. Collaborate. I'm all over the place here to begin the show.
But it's week one, man.
Week one, yeah. You know, got to get
week
the
one for everyone.
Yeah, got to get the training wheels off eventually. But for now, we'll be okay. We're gonna be doing this every single Wednesday morning. Really looking forward to it. We're gonna be breaking down the Packers and the Vikings games. We'll touch on the Lions and Bears to cover the entire NFC North. But it's gonna be a blast. Speaking of people who had a blast, I have to imagine, Andy, that you had a great time this weekend. You had a concert, but more importantly, after the news on Thursday, the big Packer news, I have to imagine you were just having the time of your life.
It's been a great time to be a Packers fan. Let me start off by saying I am incredibly excited to be collaborating with you guys. This is going to be a ton of fun all season long, getting a closer glimpse from our side of things of what's going on in Vikings land. And for you guys, obviously what's going on in Packers land. And then we'll talk about the other two teams as well from time to time, I'm sure. But just to kind of get to know what's going on, like you said, behind enemy lines and just in general, just talking shop with you guys. I'm thrilled to be doing it and super excited for it all season long. But right now is a great time to be a Green Bay Packers fan. There's no doubt about it. You joked, obviously, about the concert. So I was on my way down to see Oasis in Chicago and had to do an abrupt U-turn as soon as I got there because the news broke as soon as I got to Chicago. So did not go to Oasis, drove all the way home, ended up doing 4 hours of live podcasting instead. So that was a ton of fun, although I did, have to miss the concert, which was not ideal. But you know what? When Micah Parsons gets traded to the Green Bay Packers, you are willing to make some concessions. And if it's one concert that I lost because of it, I am more than willing to make that concession. But yeah, this is one of those things where when it happens, you just can't get enough of it, right? So like you want to talk to everyone that you can about Micah Parsons. You're listening to every Mina Kimes bit. You're listening to every podcast and watching every show and you're watching film of Micah. You just can't get enough because you don't get these things that happen very often. And when they do, you just kind of soak it in. So yes, right now, very great time to be a Green Bay Packers fan. We're about to find out just how great it is when we face, Detroit this upcoming weekend to get a really great litmus test of where both of these teams are at. But yeah, not complaining. I'll put it that way.
Wow. That's really, I didn't realize you turned around. So I was down in Florida for the Notre Dame Miami game this weekend, which didn't quite go.
Weekend, Paul.
Yeah. Right. Great weekend. Notre Dame loses on a last second field goal. Micah Parsons becomes a Packer. But honestly, anytime you're down in Florida, it's fun. So I get a call from Ziggy. He's like, it happened, Paul. It happened. I just went, what? Like, what do you mean? What happened? He goes, Micah Parsons is an effing Packer. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So we run, like I'm at my grandma's apartment. I'm like, run to the computer, Google it. I'm like, this can't be true. And I saw a couple tweets from you saying like, I thought you actually went to the concert and then came home. I didn't realize you actually really did U-turn. I thought you were joking around.
Nope. Without a second thought of it, just immediately turned around on the, like, got, so I got through rush hour traffic in Chicago, literally got to my exit for the concert after being stuck in that for like 45 minutes and then had to turn around and be in rush hour traffic the way home and then hit Milwaukee rush hour traffic as well. So it took me through all of that and then finally got home. I had to stop for gas. My battery was dying. It was a thrill. And then of like, you're fighting the urge because like all the stuff's coming out and here I'm like trying to drive as fast as I can, safely, to get home so I can, you know, do the podcast while also like trying to like, just kind of a little bit, keep an eye on the alerts every now and again to see like, all right, what's the latest and greatest? Like, what did they give up? What's the thinking here? Like just all of it. So it was a whirlwind to say the least.
I'm almost surprised we didn't see you like with the selfie camera while driving. Like you just put up the camera. You're like, this is Andy Herman with an instant reaction.
But all of these thoughts definitely crossed my mind. Like, am I going to do live from Oasis? Like, well, there were all different thoughts, but like the truth of it is as soon as it happened, immediately without even giving it a second thought, turned around, got home as quickly as I could. And, it was a heck of a night, ton of fun to talk through it all and wouldn't have done it any other way. Other than the fact that I almost joked and put the tweet out of like, Micah Parsons probably isn't going to be a Packer, but if he is, it'll be the moment I get the furthest away from home that it'll happen. And I'm like, that's a little bit too like main character syndrome. Nobody cares about you, Andy. Like you don't need to send that tweet. And then literally to a T, get to the furthest possible I could be away from home is when that news breaks and I have to turn around immediately. Just chef kiss perfect.
Ziggy, Ziggy was distraught.
Yeah, it's, you cannot go to any more concerts in Chicago. I'm not letting that happen. But look, you get to make it up when the Super Bowl parade comes to Green Bay, right? So yes, one party lost there, another party gained in the future.
I'm going to try to probably, if there is a Super Bowl, I'm going to probably try to attend a concert in Chicago during the Super Bowl, just so I can solidify yeah, a win for Green Bay, whatever's necessary at this point. If that's the portal that I have to go through to make these things happen, by all means, I'll do it again.
Andy, you reminded me of when I was working on the Notre Dame podcast with Kyle Hamilton. I came home for Easter and that was right when they hired Marcus Freeman. And, you know, driving from Indiana to Jersey, I was legitimately pulling like into or off of the exit to my town when I got a text from the guys. I was like, hey, Freeman can do an interview in 2 days. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, so I went home for one day, Easter Sunday. I woke up and I drove right back. But it was just, you know, I guess that's yep, what happens in sports media when you least expect it or when you least want it to happen. Usually these things start to happen. Now, let me ask you, before we dive into the games, Andy, do you think that all the the Packer optimism that's coming out of this with Micah, do you think that it's warranted to the degree that we're seeing where people are now putting them on the same tier with the Eagles and the Lions and saying like, all right, you know, this is it. It's all in on right now. Or do you think that while Micah's a huge name, there's still some work to be done to catch up to those two top tier NFC teams?
Yes. And yes, I think both of those things are true to some extent. Mm-hmm. I think there is still work to be done. You know, job's not done. You don't just get to acquire Micah Parsons and all of a sudden move to the front of the table. Like it takes everything coming together the way that you want it to come together in order for you to have that special season. On the other side of things, I think they went to me from being like fringe contenders where you kind of needed everything to go right if you were going to really kind of squint to see them as potential Super Bowl champions. And not to say that it couldn't, you know, you could have multiple players just like any team could step up in a way that you weren't expecting. Matthew Golden could be amazing. LVN could take a jump. Devontae Wyatt could lift up to his first round status. There's all these things that could happen, but you need a chunk of them to happen in order for it to actually be like, yep, they're Super Bowl, like legitimate Super Bowl contenders. And now to me, with having somebody like Micah Parsons, that gets you from that fringe status to you are legitimately in the conversation. And what that means down the road as to whether or not they, you know, are easily a playoff team, if they're fighting tooth and nail at the end to get in the playoffs, whether that means they're eliminated in the wild card round or Super Bowl champions or anything in between, that's the fun part of the journey. But the expectations are certainly now there. You don't go and make this type of move and give up two first round picks, Kenny Clark, and the biggest defensive contract in NFL history if you don't think you're ready to win Super Bowls. And it just harkens back to the very beginning of the offseason. And it was a really sort of remarkable moment. And we in Packers land have talked about it a ton, where Brian Gutekunst was finishing up his end of the season press conference, and he was asked a nondescript question that had really, I don't even remember, it doesn't matter what it was about. And at the end of it, he took it kind of in his own direction. And he said, it's time for there to be a level of urgency within this organization, and it's time for us to start winning championships again. And I think that immediately kind of put some eyes on Goody to say, all right, what are you going to do yep. to make this happen? It's one thing for you to have that, you know, opening salvo to the rest of the organization to say it's time to start winning championships. But if you're not going to do anything on your end, that sort of rings hollow. So how aggressive are you going to be this offseason? And we saw Matthew Golden. We saw two free agents like Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs that were big signings, but you're like, that's fun, but that to me more raises the floor than raises the ceiling. Does that get you into that Super Bowl conversation? And then, of course, he had his biggest move for last, which was, of course, Micah Parsons. And now everything sort of comes together. That urgency is there. They're literally looking to win championships right now. I know he doesn't believe in windows, but I guess by accident, he opened up a three-year window is how I would kind of view it with this kind of current team. And I'll just add one more thing on top of it. This is now, for the first time, really, completely and utterly like Goody's baby, his team. Kenny was the last Ted Thompson Green Bay Packer that they traded away in this deal. The 2020, 2021 versions, 2019 versions were so much of Ted, Devontae Adams, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know. Did I say Devontae already? Aaron Jones, et cetera. Like all of those, the core pieces, David Bakhtiari, Corey Linsley, those were all Ted players. And then he added some Za'Darius Smiths and et cetera on top of it. But it was really Ted's team at the core. This is now his fully functioning Death Star that he has built. And whether they can actually take over the galaxy or be blown to smithereens is TBD. Hopefully you guys don't have a Luke Skywalker sitting on your depth chart somewhere. But yeah, that's the plan right now. And we'll see if it comes to fruition.
I feel like JJ McCarthy feels like a Luke Skywalker.
Kind of feel like a Luke Skywalker. just a little bit.
Ziggy, after Andy is now, put the expectations on Super Bowl, and you've had a few days now to kind of get over the, I wouldn't say that we threw a tantrum, but it definitely bordered on that on Thursday night. Would you agree with Andy that the Packers are the expectation now is Super Bowl?
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
You can't give up two first round picks for a player unless you think that player is someone who can compel you to the top. Now, it doesn't mean you have to go out and win a Super Bowl this year, right? One of the benefits of adding somebody like Micah Parsons versus some of the other players they were loosely connected with, like Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's 30 years old. He turns 31 this season. You really have 1 or 2 years to get it done, if that. With Micah Parsons, you do have a window here of 2 or 3 years, like Andy said. And then maybe you can give it another go with some different young players if they're able to draft well. But you do have to actually get things done at a certain point. The Packers, what's been up until this point is they built rosters with young, talented players who can play pretty well, but they haven't had those superstars that every team needs. I mean, everybody remembers Aaron Donald going ring me, sacking Joe Burrow, yeah. Ending the game. They've got a guy who, at least talent-wise, can do that. So when you've got that, you've got Jordan Love on a huge deal. Like, the Packers have plenty of cap room, but they're paying elite players big money. Guys have to live up to that. And the only way to live up to that is by winning playoff games.
Yeah. And I think Edgerrin Cooper is going to be great this year, too. We're saying you now have stars at all three levels of the defense. And, we'll see with Jordan Love. I still think so much of it comes down to Love being able to get to that level he was at a few years ago, or at least close. But here's how the show's going to work today. We kind of just wanted a little preview there with Micah. We had to touch on it and hear what was going through Andy's mind and, Ziggy and I, who have now kind of come to peace with it. But what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the Packers-Lions game and the Vikings-Bears game, and we're going to ask Andy what he's most excited to see for the Packers, also what potentially is his biggest concern. Then we're going to flip it, and we're going to give him our biggest concern and what we're most excited for as Vikings fans. So we'll get into it. Why don't we? And maybe the answer is Micah Parsons. But Andy, with this huge game coming up, I mean, it's arguably could be the biggest game of the season, right? Like, if you were to just pick one before the year starts, the Lions coming into Green Bay feels like not a must win, but it's like, if they get this win, it starts the season off on a high note. What are you most excited to see and hoping to see from your Packers?
Yeah, that's a you know, just so many different ways that you could kind of go with that answer. Oh, yeah. Micah Parsons is obviously on top of the list. I think anytime there's a new season that starts, you just kind of want to see the pieces and what they kind of look like. And you have just this unbelievable litmus test in week one. Like so much of the conversation that dominated 2024, and we talked about it in the past, was they beat up on a lot of not great teams. Maybe the Houston Texans being the one team that they kind of got that win against. But when they went against good teams, Minnesota, Detroit, Philly, they went 0-6 in those, you know, against those three teams in those six games, and just kind of couldn't come up with the big wins. Meanwhile, they went 1-5 in the division. They were a blocked field goal away from going 0-6 in the division. Mm-hmm. So now you're talking about, you've got this huge division game. Dan Campbell and the Lions have definitely kind of owned you a little bit as of late. And you could not win big games last year. And now it all of a sudden, week one, there's no rest. There's no escape from it. You've got a huge game in the division, week one. And to your point, like, it's not hyperbole to say how huge this game is, because the top of the NFC North could easily come down to just one simple game or a tiebreaker if you ultimately get the tiebreaker, you know, between everything. So yeah, this does feel like a huge game. And then of course, Green Bay right after it has a Thursday night game against Washington. So there's no rest after. You don't want to start 0-1 against Detroit and then feel like that Washington game is really a must win so that you don't go 0-2. Like the pressure sort of starts to get pretty intense really quick if you lose this game. So Micah Parsons, you know, how they do against a really good team right off the bat. And I think the other thing too is kind of the flip side of this trade, right? Yes, you got Micah Parsons. You did give up Kenny Clark, and Kenny did not have his best season a year ago. We know part of that was due to injury, but now you've got on the interior of the defensive line, no Kenny Clark, no TJ Slayton. Devontae Wyatt has not really been a run defender in his career. Colby Wooden put on like 20 mm-hmm. pounds to try to be a bigger run defender. It seemingly has worked, but that's a big jump for him. Like all of a sudden he's probably starting next to Devontae Wyatt. Carl Brooks, not really a run defender. And then you've got a 6th round pick in Warren Brinson and an undrafted free agent rookie in Nasir Stackhouse. That's your rotation on the defensive line. And I'm very interested to see right off the bat, because I guarantee you that new interior of the Lions, which everyone's expecting to be a downgrade, is now going against the Kenny Clark, TJ Slayton less defensive line of the Green Bay Packers. Who wins that battle on the inside? Because if Detroit can just get that yardage and there's no pressure inside on Jared Goff, it's advantage Detroit. And if Green Bay can stuff with their new defensive tackles and get some pressure inside on Jared Goff, to me, it's a huge advantage for Green Bay. So those are, I think, a few of the things that I'm really looking forward to in this one.
Yeah, going against that Lions line is always a tough matchup. And the thing that makes Jared Goff so difficult to deal with is even when you get him under pressure, you still have to finish the job. I remember against the Vikings last year, and was the October game, we were able to get pressure on him on 50% of his dropbacks. And on those 11 pressures, he was 10 for 11 for 164 yards. And
that game
touchdowns.
Was brutal.
It's like Flores was able to scheme things up and get guys in there. But Jared Goff can be a monster even under pressure. You need guys that can actually tackle him, which is very, very difficult. But if there's anybody who's going to be able to do that, Micah Parsons is there. Similarly, like against this Lions team, if they dominate you against the run, it doesn't matter how good your pass rush is, right? Jahmyr Gibbs, I think he's going to be the best running back in the league this year. David Montgomery is maybe the best number two in the league this year. Like their running game is incredible. Now, obviously there's a new scheme coming in, so we'll see how much that affects things. And that might be a window for the Packers week one. But if you get dominated on the offensive line, like this Lions team did to so many people last year, game's over before it starts.
Yep. I totally agree. And I'm just curious from both of your standpoints, Paul, you've done too much hosting so far. So I'm going to ask you on this one. As obviously from a Vikings point of view, as you guys watch this game, other than A, the meteor, or B, both teams just look terrible. Like what are you watching for? What are you interested in? What would give you concern for the season if you saw it? And what would give you guys some maybe hope for as Vikings fans if you saw it as you're watching these two teams? Because I'm equally as interested, and we'll get into it later, with Bears and Vikings for that very, you know, kind of similar reason. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in week one. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code Packaday. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code Packaday at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code Packaday at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code Packaday at checkout. See site for details.
So I actually think I'm looking at the Packer offense versus the Lion defense, because either way, if the Packers offense comes out and lights the world on fire, the alarm bells are going off, right? Like Jordan Love can be a problem. They have Golden there, first round receiver. That will be an issue. On the other side of things, if the Lions, as they're going to continue to get healthier as the year goes on, but if the healthier Lions defense comes in and shuts down the Packers, then it's like an Aiden Hutchinson's there and he's getting sacks. Then I'm going, oh my gosh, Detroit is like Detroit now is probably the number one team in the entire NFL. So I'm really excited to see the healthier Lions defense coming up and playing against Jordan Love, who should be healthier himself, right? With a couple new weapons in play. And that's what I'm looking forward to watching. And if Love comes out, and again, I keep bringing up 2023, and I shouldn't do that anymore, because that's, you know, it's so far in the past. But if Love comes out and he looks like the top 10 quarterback that everyone's expecting him to be this season, that's when I think I look at the Packers and say, okay, with Parsons now, this is a team that's a serious threat. Because in my mind still, I need to see it, right? I want to see Love get back to that level, and then they're a problem to me. So I'm watching the Packer offense versus the Lion defense.
I'm watching both of the offenses in this game, because I'm confident in the Vikings defense. I think if it comes down to a defensive battle, we've got a lot of playmakers, guys who can generate turnovers. Like, there's a possibility we'll be able to win those games. I am not confident about our offense winning an absolute shootout. Yeah. So there's reason to be nervous about both offenses, right? Jared Goff has done very well in the offense that he's had with Ben Johnson. But we also saw at the beginning of his time with Detroit, there is not a guarantee that Jared Goff and the Lions offense will create success. Similarly, like, Jordan Love has had a lot of ups and downs. If it's a defensive dominated division, I think the Vikings defense at all levels has the talent to stick with those guys. You know, maybe Justin Jefferson can make a play, because he's one of those guys who in almost any game will get something. But if these offenses for both the Lions and the Packers look unstoppable against what should be two pretty good defenses, I'm going to be sweating.
Andy, I actually have a question for you as far as, you know, the potential concerns. The cornerback room in Green Bay, like, where do you stand on that right now? Because Hobbs is a little banged up. Like, how confident in that unit are you?
It's a great question. That's another one of the really interesting aspects that I'm excited to kind of keep an eye on. If Hobbs can't play, I'm expecting we're going to get a huge dose of Nixon and Valentine on the outside, with then Javon Bullard in the slot would be my guess.
Yeah.
I am very interested, because I think the idea is going to be on early downs to put Bullard in the slot and then Nixon and Hobbs on the outside in general, if everyone's healthy. And then on obvious passing downs, take Bullard out, put Hobbs in the slot and bring, you know, Valentine off the bench. I think that's, that's their ideal goal. So I'm very curious in this one is when you get to obvious passing downs with no Hobbs, are you going to bring in somebody for Javon Bullard? Cause you don't really want him in those obvious passing downs in the slot. Does that mean Bo Melton is playing corner? Are you bringing in somebody, one of your other younger corner? Like, I guess it would have to be Kamal Haddon at that point. That is very interesting to me. I think they're just going to keep Bullard on the field, but I do have some concerns about just, is Javon Bullard going to be matching up with Amon-Ra St. Brown in the slot? That gives me a lot of cause for concern. Here's how I view this defensive backfield as a whole. I go back to last year, and I don't think it was a fluke. It was a large enough sample size. AJ Brown tore him apart in week one, and pretty much after, and that was actually against Jaire Alexander to a huge extent of all people. And then after that, they really did not allow 100-yard receivers. They kind of kept everyone in check. Yes, they were going to get some plays from time to time, but it wasn't going to be catastrophic. You didn't see Jefferson going for 180 or Ross St. Brown going for 180, DJ Moore, et cetera. They kind of held receivers under 100 yards and kept them under wraps. This was a really, really sound zone defense that Jeff Hafley had them running last year. And it was a veteran group that really had everything down to a T from a communication standpoint of knowing how to pass things off, knowing where everyone was going to be, really leaning on Xavier McKinney on the back end. And then if you add, if they can continue to do that, plus add that pass rush up front with Micah Parsons, to me, that's where this becomes a little bit of a game changer, because I think some of it was a little bit smoke and mirrors, but I do think they have the ability to cover long enough and make it difficult, at least for opposing teams, where you're going to have to earn everything. And like the old Green Bay Packers defense felt like the Spider-Man pointing meme at all times, where everyone was pointing at each other like, what were you were supposed to have it. No, you were supposed to have it. And last year, we, knock on wood, really did not see that from the Packers. They were constantly aware of what everyone was supposed to be doing. So I think it's more of a team defense more than it is an individual defense, where it's just one person is set to take on Justin Jefferson, which isn't going to end well. We'll see how much that they can continue that. If it can, I think they've got an opportunity. But if they can't, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Moore, et cetera, those guys could go on to have really big seasons against Green Bay secondary, which then becomes a problem. So again, all eyes on it for sure.
That's another spot where Micah Parsons helps, though. When we talked about this, when Ziggy and I were reacting, you got a guy like Micah, it's not just the production he brings. It's how he helps everyone else, the edge rushers in the secondary. If you get to the quarterback, makes everyone's life a little bit easier. Going off your question from a couple minutes ago, though, another thing that we have to kind of mention is the Lions offense, and it's the interior of the O-line, right? And then with John Morton, now a new offensive coordinator, that's been like the big storyline. Ben Johnson's in Chicago. What is this Lions offense going to look like? And I really hope it doesn't look like last year, because I have this helpless feeling when we play Detroit now. You guys play them really close. You've beat them recently. Every time we've played them, it just feels like inevitable that they're going to find a way to win the game right now, which is insane to say about the Lions. In my lifetime, it was just, okay, we got two wins against Detroit. Maybe we slip up once every couple of years. And now I'm like, we go in, I'm like, oh my God, they're just going to push us around. Gibbs is going to run loose. Montgomery's going to get some short yardage touchdowns, and that's it. So I am really hoping, like the goal to me is that Detroit doesn't look like the juggernaut that they were last year. Because if they do, yeah, we could talk about the schedule all we want with them. When you're the hunter, you're going to win a lot of games. And I'm hoping that we see a step back from them, because like last year was just 14 wins. And 14 wins, and we're sitting there with a wild card game. So I think that should be like the NFC North goal as a whole, is as much as we want to talk about Micah Parsons and what that does to the Packers' ceiling, we need to see Detroit take a step back, or else it's just going to be vying for second again.
There's three potential things that I'm really looking for closely on this Detroit team, because I think it's going to go a long way in defining who they are this year. The first is their defensive ends. And we know Aiden Hutchinson is coming back from injury. I thought he was the best defensive player in football last year prior to the injury. He was nearly unstoppable. What does he look like coming back from that injury? Number one. And then number two, does he get any other pass rush help along that defensive line? Because all of a sudden, like Marcus Davenport, who you guys know very well, like has a resurgence and actually stays healthy for once. That's a problem. Like if all of a sudden they've got two of those, or like even just again, he looks remotely good.
We don't know Davenport. Yeah, we don't really know. Neither does Detroit.
Yeah, neither does Detroit. So like that's the usual Marcus Davenport. If all of a sudden they get good Marcus Davenport, who's actually healthy somehow, some way, that changes things quite a bit. If they get anybody else rushing the passer besides Aiden Hutchinson, that becomes a big problem. If it's just Hutchinson, you can probably survive that. Like you can double team and chip and do the things that you need to do. Or if Hutchinson just isn't all the way back and he doesn't quite look like himself, that too, I think really changes things defensively for Detroit. So that's number one. Number two, I have some slight concerns with the Tesla hype of what if all of a sudden he is like really good? Like, I don't think it's necessarily going to be the case, like especially right away. And I think he's a little bit banged up this week as well. But if all of a sudden you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams, Laporta, Gibbs, and now you add this dude to the mix and he's really good, that just gives you a whole nother aspect to have to worry about with their offense. So that's number two. And then number three is the interior of their offensive line. That's been such a strength. We kind of talked about it already, but Ragnow's gone, Zeitler's gone. Christian Mahogany is very unproven. Ratledge is a rookie. And I don't think Graham Glasgow is all that good. It just in general, at least in comparative to what they've had in the past. So that to me is like, that has to be their weakness is in that middle. They cannot have more pass rushers than Aiden Hutchinson. And they cannot have this other weapon on top of all the other weapons that they have already. If those three things are there and all of a sudden their defensive front looks good, their interior looks good and Tesla looks good. I don't even know what we're doing anymore. It's going to be probably a very long season.
Ziggy, you are big on Tesla. Ziggy keeps texting me. He's like, Isaac Tesla's a problem. This is gonna be a problem. So Ziggy, you must be in agreement.
I mean, I have a terrible track record for getting excited about wide receivers. The last wide receiver I felt this excited about was Rondale Moore. And that was just obviously disaster. But one thing that worries me is the way that John Morton has been talking about this Lions offense. You know, obviously he's been getting asked tons of questions and interviews about what he wants to do with this team. And one of the things I think that really held the Lions back last year going into things like the playoffs was Ben Johnson's a great play caller, but sometimes he could get a little bit too cute. He loved the trick plays. He loved passing the ball. Hearing Morton come out and say that this team's strength is really in the running game and that if there's anything he'd change, it would be dialing things back a little bit and playing to their strengths. Obviously, you know, Ben Johnson said a lot of the creativity from the offense came from guys below them. I don't think that's going to totally go away. But I'm more scared of like the Gibbs-Montgomery pair than anything else this team can do. If they decide they want to run the ball a little bit more, we'll find out a lot about what this offensive scheme is going to look like in week one because you need to bring it against the Packers. This is not a game where you can sit back and save stuff for later in the year. But I'm worried about what he's going to be bringing out.
It's funny, Andy. You know, Ziggy does have this infatuation with rookies as far as like, you know, starting to hype them up.
It's fun. I do it too.
I do it all the time too. And I just remember we had a big fantasy draft in like a freshman or sophomore, whatever year it was that CEH came out. And I had like the fifth or sixth pick in my draft back home with my friends. And I was just debating over and over again, like who I want to take. And Ziggy just slowly over the course of like a week was like, you know, CEH, he's the next Brian Westbrook, Paul. Like this guy, like Andy Reid's going to turn him into something unstoppable. I took him. And then, you know, after like 2 weeks, just utter disaster. And I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe need to slow down.
Never listen to me again.
But, you know, sometimes you see these guys pop off. You get a Saquon year or you get a year like last season. But all right, let's go over to the Viking side of things. Let's talk about you know, a real 14-win team here with some big expectations, real expectations. The Vikings and the Bears on Monday Night Football, and it's just so exciting. Like we talk about, you know, things we're looking forward to, things we might be concerned about. These teams in the NFC North are so good and so interesting that you can just go on for. Like I love how right there we just talked about all four sides, you know, for both teams, because there's just a ton of talent and a ton of expectations that you don't see in the other divisions. So Ziggy, I'll go to you first. As a Viking fan, you know, I think as a Viking fan, despite what our comment section might say, what are you looking forward to? And maybe let's veer off McCarthy, because we all know we're excited about JJ McCarthy. What else do you want to see from this Viking team?
Can I say Justin Jefferson having a healthy hamstring?
Sure. I mean, that actually is, yeah, that's massive.
I mean, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to think about Justin Jefferson and injured hamstring. We saw what that did in 2023. He only put up 1,100 yards, worst season of his career. But the thing I'm most excited to see actually is guys that we sort of forgotten about on this offense, I think is really good players. You know, everybody talks about Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, but Adam Thielen is back in town and TJ Hawkinson has been healthy for the first time in an offseason. You know, Darisaw, we'll see when he's able to come back, but between that and the new additions on the offensive line, even if Justin Jefferson misses week one, even with Jordan Addison out for a suspension, I'm really excited to see all the talent on this Vikings offense. There's so many players here who can take over games. I think people have forgotten, especially of Hawkinson after last year. I know you're thinking, you're like, what am I going to title this? How am I going to put TJ Hawkinson in the thumbnail of this video? He's an exciting player, and I really think a lot of people have forgotten about him. You know, the 1-2 punch of Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason. It feels like cheating to say the entire Vikings offense, but I think around the NFL, people have forgotten just how much talent is on this team. I'm really excited to see what they're going to be able to do week one against the Bears defense that has been vulnerable in the past.
And I'm going to step in for Andy for a second here and say, if Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson are out, Ziggy, like
TJ Hawkinson, 200 yards.
I don't know. Like, I'm sure Andy's sitting here going like, man, if Addison Jefferson are out, Ziggy's out here talking about 35-year-old Adam Thielen lighting the league on fire again. Like, we have bigger.
He was a good player last year.
We have a lot of concerns. We have a lot of concerns if Jefferson misses this one for JJ's first game. I'll narrow in a little bit, Ziggy. I want to see the new pieces on the offensive line. Like, I'd love to. We've been talking about it and complaining about it for years, wanting to revamp that. We finally did it. And Donovan Jackson has kind of been up and down throughout training camp. We still have Kelly and Fries are coming off big injuries. So if these guys come out here, and hopefully Darisaw plays, we'll see. But if these guys come out here and just start pushing guys around and Aaron Jones is having a good day on the ground, JJ has time to throw, that gets me really excited about what this offense can become. If they're just getting abused by Javon Dexter, you know, Sweat's having a big game. We've seen that in Chicago a lot. Like, we've gone to Chicago, their defense wins the day up front. And I remember, you know, we have Kirk who couldn't move for so long. Just watching Kirk get sacked time and time again. I want to see the offensive line really take it to Chicago. And I think that would help settle JJ in. And really, really bode well for the rest of the year, because this group could be a top five unit in football, but there's just so many, there's question marks across the board, whether it's injuries or inexperience. How about you, Andy? Viking offense, is there something you're, let me guess, is it JJ McCarthy being horrendous?
Yeah, no, well, there's a couple things I want to get to. First of all, can you imagine if Joe Berger was still on this team and you had Berger and Fries on the offensive line?
Right.
Like, how amazing would that have ultimately been? What a missed opportunity overall. But you guys have to be the first Berger and Fries like to have on like the same organization ever. So congratulations on that. Number two, if you're gonna like have trouble with putting Ziggy's TJ Hawkinson on the thumbnail, you guys are missing one of my favorite players in Minnesota. I love Josh Oliver. I grew up in the Mercedes Lewis, you know, just like watching him in Green Bay and what like a run blocking tight end can do for you. I love watching Josh Oliver play. So that's not what I'm watching for in this game, but I just want to say I love me some Josh Oliver.
I love Josh too, but Josh Oliver will not be in the thumbnail.
I mean, hey, the Vikings love him too. He got a huge extension.
Oh, he's great.
Offseason.
He's great.
Well-deserved. Well-deserved for sure. No, I think the first thing, of course, is just, okay, so I'm going to take a step back on this. You said that the Packers and the Lions is one of the biggest games of the year. I think this game, not only just as a Packers fan, NFC North fan, et cetera, is one of the most intriguing games of the year, because I think these two quarterbacks are two of the most unique mystery boxes and or lottery tickets or however you want to view it in the league right now, where you just don't have a full understanding of what these two are going to look like. If you told me that either or both or none of these quarterbacks went completely off in this game and had like super great efficiency, like 300 yards, maybe three touchdowns and an interception or something, or like one turnover. If you told me either of the quarterbacks did that, I'd be like, yeah, I could totally see it. If you told me either of them or both of them struggled and were like 13 of 27 with a touchdown and like three turnovers, I'd be like, yeah, I would totally believe that too. I have no idea what either of these quarterbacks are going to look like by the end of the season. I have no idea if we're talking about oh my God, either these teams have just found their franchise quarterback for the next decade plus, or if like, oh my God, both of these teams might be looking at quarterbacks in the next draft if this continues the way that it is. And we're not going to have a final answer by any of these stretch of the imagination at the end of this game. Both of them could look amazing and end up being terrible. Both of them could look terrible and end up being amazing. But this is like our first real information gathering of what JJ McCarthy looks like, period. And what, you know, Caleb Williams looks like in this new offense with Ben Johnson after what was a tough rookie season for him. So as far as like the future of the NFC North goes and just like NFC quarterbacks and just quarterbacks in the league in general, these are two top 10 draft picks. McCarthy, outside of, again, maybe the injury and injury to Jefferson, suspension to Addison, long-term with, like you mentioned, all the weapons on offense, he could not be in much better position. You now get the, you know, what everyone is viewing as the next brain genius as an offensive mind in Ben Johnson to get, you know, him for Caleb Williams, not to mention all the pieces that they surrounded him with. What do these two look like? And it just feels like there is so much at stake for both of these franchises and in the NFC North long-term. The Vikings Bears is one of those games where usually I'm like, I don't even want to watch it because if either of them do well, it's not fun for me. I just, you know, but this is one that I am going to be locked in on for this particular game.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it too. It's the same way that Lions and Packers will kind of reveal, you know, who's top dog right now. Vikings and Bears might just show who's going to be that next challenger to join them. And look, a lot of times those Vikings games in Chicago are very ugly, but you're right. It could be one where their explosive offenses are supposed to be. Like, I just have no idea what this game is going to look like. I will say the other spot. So offensive line is the key point for me on the offense. Defensively, I've really had concerns about the Vikings secondary this entire offseason. And obviously bringing back Byron Murphy was huge. But losing Cam Bynum was pretty big. You know, despite all the celebrations and that getting the attention there, he was a pretty good football player too. And now we're looking at a fairly revamped with Isaiah Rodgers taking on this bigger role. My worry is that this secondary could get exposed. Now, having the great pass rush, as we mentioned with Parsons helping the Packers, Vikings pass rush should be phenomenal this year. They're going to go deep along the defensive line. But my worry would be, and Ziggy, let me know if you agree with this, my worry is that this secondary doesn't live up to expectations. And, you know, we'll see how much time Jeff Okuda gets. And that's an experiment in its own right, even though he's supposedly playing a lot better. That's where I'm most concerned is if this secondary starts to get picked apart, then in the NFC North with Love, with Goff, if Caleb plays really well, that can be problems during the season.
We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself. But I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY.
Yeah, I am certainly worried about the secondary. I mean, I'm worried about the depth up and down the Vikings defense. I mean, the Vikings, if you look at, they signed 19 undrafted free agents initially. They kept 7 of them for the 53-man roster. So there are a lot of potential depth issues on this team. But the secondary is where it's the most worrying, I think. It's like on the defensive line, I mean, if like Grenard and Hargrave and Allen and Ivan Pace are all out, like we're screwed anyway. But with respect to the cornerbacks, besides Byron Murphy, I'm not really confident in any of these guys to be outstanding players. I mean, Harrison Smith is getting older and older.
And he might not even play. Like, we don't even know if he's going to play. Yeah,
who knows if he's even going to be healthy. Metellus is very versatile. But like outside of that, we're really counting on like one of Isaiah Rodgers or Jeff Okuda to be an outstanding player. And if we were just counting them to be okay, right, they're coming in as your cornerback four, your cornerback five, I'd feel a lot better about that. But the Vikings are really counting on having a guy break out in a big way. And I always get nervous. You know, Jeff Okuda has been given a lot of chances with a lot of teams, right? This is not a guy who's going to a second organization after being somewhere really crummy. Good defenses have given him a chance and decided he just wasn't worth it. Counting on a guy like that to have a breakout season, I mean, it could happen. If anybody can get unorthodox things out of players, it is Brian Flores. You know, he was voted the second best defensive play caller by NFL coaches in an athletic poll recently. But we need that badly. And I always hate going into a season. You know, as a Packers fan, Andy, I'm sure you're used to this, thinking we just need this position group to have an absolute breakout player or we're screwed.
Yeah, it's certainly been that way. And corners are one of those places that Green Bay wouldn't mind having somebody like that as well if a Carrington Valentine wants to step up in a significant way. And yeah, just kind of looking at it from your point of view, from a Vikings defensive backfield, there's not a ton. If I'm the Green Bay Packers or if I'm the Detroit Lions or one of those teams that I look in that secondary and be like, all right, we got a game plan for this guy. And it's not, again, to say that they can't have a collectively successful season. We just kind of talked about it in a very similar way with Green Bay's defensive backfield. But at least in that case, I feel really great about Xavier McKinney being on the back end and kind of protecting a lot of the stuff that happens. If Harrison Smith is healthy, you know, he still has a little bit of that magic still left in him. But yeah, outside of that, and I actually really do like Josh Metellus as well. But yeah, Cam Bynum was another guy I really liked. And I don't think that's an insignificant loss to, what was it, Indianapolis, right? So yeah, I think that is going to be a really interesting aspect of this team to kind of keep an eye on.
Isaiah Rodgers is the guy. Like, but Ziggy, you were talking about Okuda or Rodgers. Like, they're investing heavily in Rodgers having a strong season. And there's no reason to think he can't, but you're giving someone a real opportunity here as the clear-cut number two on the roster. And I just hope, because we've had years where the secondary has fallen apart and it could just, I mean, remember the year we played the Giants, right? In the playoffs and got obliterated. We're giving up 400 yards a game. And it's just like, you can't do anything, especially putting that much pressure on JJ to score. Obviously I think this defense is much, much better with the front seven than that unit was, but it could be, again, this game could go in many different directions. I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing both quarterbacks struggle out the gates because they're pretty good defenses here. So, all right, to wrap this thing up, I think this wasn't on the docket, but maybe a little prediction time, guys. What do you think? Maybe predict each game.
I have one question for you guys really quick before we get into that. One question for you guys. All right, let's say that like the whole like not being ready for the season is not a question. Bears call today and offer Caleb Williams for JJ McCarthy. Straight up, no questions asked. And again, we're not playing into it of like, oh, they don't know the offense or whatever right before the season. That's not a piece of it. Are you taking the deal? Yes or no?
I would.
Well, you said at the same time, I didn't get either of those.
I would do it. I don't want anyone to get mad at me, but yeah, I think that Caleb's ceiling right now, not having watched JJ play, I think giving Caleb Williams to Kevin O'Connell, I think he could turn him into a great quarterback.
You know, you said earlier in the show, Paul, that I love the mystery box. We've seen a season from Caleb Williams. It wasn't as outstanding as he would have liked, and we've seen younger quarterbacks come and have immediate success. Even though it was a disaster in Chicago last year, I'm sticking with JJ McCarthy. I want to see what this guy can do.
I mean, I'm supposed to say that. Like, I really like it when the social clip comes out. Like, that's really what I should say. And you want everyone to say he believes in his guy, and I do believe in JJ. I do think, though, that Caleb ended last year playing a lot better football, and you know, he's got all the attributes. It's just a matter of kind of locking in mentally. And I would be really excited. I'd be more excited if the Vikings had Caleb under center, because I just don't know what to expect at all. I really, guys, have no idea what to expect with JJ McCarthy come Monday night. That's a great question though, Andy.
I don't have anything to expect as either of them. It's like, again, the crazy part, and again, which makes this so dang intriguing, where again, if either of them tore it up, would not be surprised. If either of them struggled mightily, would not be surprised, or anything in between. They're probably both average in this game would be my guess. But man, if either of them do, I certainly the Bears or the Vikings, whichever one it is going to feel a whole lot more empowered going into the rest of the season because their guy played really well in this game. We'll see what that amounts to. But yeah, this is again, a really big, interesting first first look at what these two offenses look like with these two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and go ahead, Ziggy. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing about it is J.J. McCarthy was incredibly good at not taking sacks in college when pressure was in his face, and Caleb Williams was incredibly bad at that. You know, if you go back and look at them in the NFL draft, J.J. McCarthy had one of the best pressure-to-sack rates in his class. Caleb Williams had by far the worst. And that's something that tends to be sticky in the NFL, and you saw it last year. Caleb Williams took a whole bunch of sacks. I'd be worried about that long term if I'm the Chicago Bears. Obviously, it's a new offense. Things can get better there. But I'd be worried about Caleb Williams and the pressure to sack rate last year.
Yeah, and we didn't mention it, but you know, the new interior that the Bears have on that offensive line too is something that, like, it's just both teams have so many things you could look for. So, all right, let's do this game first. Vikings-Bears. Ziggy, who you think comes home the winner in week one?
As a Vikings fan, I'm supposed to be nervous anytime our team is looking good. But I really think that this could be a year where the Minnesota Vikings put out a solid performance. I'm not confident in this Bears team. I think it's going to take time for Caleb Williams to learn the offense. J.J. McCarthy has been back there for a couple years. I'm sticking with the Vikings for this one.
How about you, Andy?
I'm taking the Vikings. I don't like that it's in Chicago, and I don't like anytime you get a new coach, there's always like the desire to like set the standard right away and come out with a big win, especially when you're at home. I just think Minnesota is a lot more experienced with their coaching staff, their defensive coordinator, knowing how to win games like this. Like you said, like they've been very successful, especially from a regular season standpoint in the Kevin O'Connell era. And until I see that out of Chicago, I'm going to stick with Minnesota in this one, but I do think it's going to be very close.
I'm also going to go with the Vikings. Surprise, surprise. I'm going to go with the Vikings. But I do think that if you had to pick one quarterback who might make some more mistakes, I actually think Caleb is the answer. I don't think he's going to be as reckless as he was last year. But if there was ever a time for that to happen, it would be week one. It would probably be against a defense like this that's going to get after him. So I lean towards the Vikings. I can easily see Chicago winning this game. But I think the Vikings will do enough on offense and be steady enough where we'll be able to come away with the win. And, you know, if one of these teams looks great, like you said, Andy, before, the entire NFC kind of takes notice because the rosters are good enough to really have a special season. It's just a matter of, will one of these two quarterbacks really take off? And it's even just saying it now, it feels unrealistic to think that JJ could do that coming off the meniscus. But, you know, we've seen it with Stroud and Daniels, so you never know. Let's close here with the Packers and Lions game. You know, I'll go first since I think you guys are like two of the most loved people in Wisconsin. So I want to take the Packers and I'm rooting for the Packers actually, amazingly, which is treason.
Yeah, I get it.
I understand that that's treason, but I think Detroit is going to win the game. I just think Detroit's roster is so good, and I'm hoping I'm wrong, but my guess is this is a very close game that Detroit wins late.
Ziggy?
I'm always nervous when there's coordinator shifts. I think that that's something, and you can see this over time. Generally, by the time the second half of the season rolls around, guys are a lot more comfortable. But even when you've got continuity in the building, it can be tough. I think the Packers, with the offensive continuity, the defensive continuity, and the big addition to juice everybody up, I'm feeling very good about the Packers week one in this one. They deserve to be favored.
I would have picked Detroit had they not traded for Micah Parsons in this game. I just think, again, Detroit would be maybe a little bit better prepared for this. I think what Ziggy just mentioned of like kind of juicing up this roster to, you know, with the addition of Micah Parsons, to me, that's going to have everyone excited. The crowd's going to be going insane. I think that pushes them over the finish line. I think it would have been like Detroit by like three or less. I think now it's Green Bay by three or less.
All right. So according to this show here, Behind Enemy Lines, we have the Vikings and Packers at 1-0. I like, shockingly, the Vikings and Packers both walk away 1-0 after week one. So yeah, guys, I think it's going to be a lot of fun over the course of the season. We'll be back every Wednesday morning, breaking down the previous week, a little look ahead to the week forward. So, yeah, Andy, Ziggy, any closing thoughts, or are we ready for some football?
Yeah, just one thing really quick. As you guys were talking about the breakdown of the Bears-Vikings game, I can't imagine for Ben Johnson, as he's trying to get Caleb Williams up to speed in this new offense, I can't imagine a worse first opponent than having to go against Brian Flores and all the different things. Like, I get he's had the entire offseason, but you cannot prepare a quarterback, like I don't care where he's at in his development, for the different kitchen sink stuff that Brian Flores is going to throw at you. And not already when you have a little bit of like a time to throw issue. And now, yeah, I guarantee you Ben Johnson's going to want to have him get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. Man, any time to throw of like any first read doesn't go right. And I could just see that going very poorly for Caleb in Chicago. We'll see. That's, again, part of the huge intrigue.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
And that's dangerous. We saw last year the Bears got off to a slow start and it soured the locker room very quickly. And you could see things spiraled out of control. Guys stopped listening to coaches. They were publicly complaining. The Bears cannot have that again this year. And if you're a first-time head coach, I think you don't want the first thing to be the quarterback you were brought in to save having a putrid performance. Brian Flores is going to be excited about this one, I think.
Hey, we can all root for each other. Maybe for 1 week. For 1 week, we can root for each other. So for Behind Enemy Lines, it's Pack-A-Day Podcast with Andy Herman, Paul Farrington Show with Ziggy and Paul. And we'll be back next Wednesday.